This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
DC police continue to leave out countless numbers of felonies from the crime stats and purposely covering it up. And as I looked at the stats, I thought, I'm going to look for my stat. And I didn't see mine.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. That was Anna Giratelli. She's the author of the new book, Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. We go in depth with Anna about that book a little bit later on in today's program. Plus, we hear excerpts from a recent lecture by Scott Jennings at a Hillsdale NLS event. First, we're joined by Jeremiah Regan. He's Executive Director of Online Learning here at Hillsdale College. Jeremiah, thanks so much for joining us.
Scott, thanks for having me.
Excited to have you today to discuss Hillsdale College's theatrical debut in theaters soon, a film called Revolutionary America. It'll be May 31st, June 1st, June 2nd. We'll give you details here. You can find more at hillsdale.edu/film. It's going to be a great experience for people who are just finding out about it, which is everyone. What makes it different from the history documentaries we're perhaps used to seeing?
It's a lot of fun. That's not meaning to cast aspersions on other documentaries, but we've taken great pains to make it feel like a story. Our professors do an excellent job telling the story. It's Hillsdale, so you know it's factually correct. It's well-researched. The politics and the history are done properly. But we've arranged this so that it feels like you're sitting around, you know, a campfire hearing the story of the founding of our nation. And so it's a lot of fun on top of being correct.
The film is narrated by Tom Selleck, a name you likely know. We'll talk more about that in a moment. This is something new and different. As we've mentioned, we've talked often with you and other professors who have been teaching our online courses for a while, but this is going to be in theaters for a limited run. Why was it important to bring this story to the big screen as opposed to having it online or having it streaming somewhere on the Hillsdale website?
We really wanted Dr. Arn's face to be 90 feet tall. I joke. This is America's 250th anniversary. It's a momentous occasion. We are a great country. We have so much to be proud of. There's so much to learn about our heritage and then to apply in our lives today to help preserve our freedom. And we wanted to commemorate our founding. To do honor to our founders and those great men and women who helped create our nation and set us on the path of freedom. And we wanted to do something for our citizens today, to give them something to go experience together as a family, to enjoy, to feel proud of their country. And, you know, frankly, sometimes it's dicey going to the movie theaters. That used to be a fun family activity. It's difficult to find things. There's a couple companies doing good stuff today. We want to participate in that, too. There's a great tradition of families going to the cinema together. Go see Revolutionary America. Enjoy it as a family. Feel good about it. And know that everything will be virtuous and salutary, and you won't have to worry about your children seeing anything you don't want them to see.
Who are some of the interviewees involved in Revolutionary America? In addition to Dr. Arn and his 40-foot head, who else will others hear from in the course of the film?
You know, we are so blessed at Hillsdale to have professors who are well-versed and well-spoken, experts in their fields, and also really good on camera. So it's Dr. Arn, as you mentioned, then professors John Grant, Kevin Slack, Paul Moreno, Bill McClay, and Tom West. We also have a couple of friends of Hillsdale, intelligent, patriotic Americans, Michael Knowles, Eric Metaxas, and John Lovell, who do a great job bringing some additional stories and characters to the film.
And what about the people behind the scenes who helped make this film happen? What's the difference from a production standpoint between doing an online course, maybe, and doing something like this, which is meant for the big screen? And then, of course, how does Tom Selleck get involved?
That's right. Good questions. If you've ever sat through the credit roll of a movie and seen all of those names and wondered, what do all these people do? That's a little bit of what we're experiencing. A feature film's different. There's way more names. But even on this documentary, dozens and dozens of people at Hillsdale, at our production partner Distant Moon, have contributed to research, fact-checking, filming, getting the audio right, doing the visual effects maps, finding beautiful paintings and imagery to supplement what we're putting on screen. Dozens of people have contributed, and not least of which is Tom Selleck, who we got in touch with through a casting director named Deborah George. She did a great job explaining the project to Tom, and he was very excited to be involved. He loves America. He's a patriot. Ian Reed, the director, and I, who wrote the narrative, were very flattered that he liked our script, and then we got to sit in on the recording sessions, which we did virtually. He was in a professional studio, much like this, but it was a lot of fun, and man, he is really good. It was great to work with a professional like Tom Selleck.
Revolutionary America, Hillsdale College's theatrical debut. You can find more at hillsdale.edu/film. It's in theaters May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. Hillsdale.edu/film. We'll talk more in depth about perhaps what people will see as we get closer to those dates. But we know the film focuses on the lived experiences of Americans during the Revolution. So what does that look like when you transfer that to the big screen?
Well, we're trying to fit a lot of history into a relatively short period. And as you said, we're looking at the experience of the individuals, the Americans, who had to make the decision to stand up for their rights, to fight for their liberty, to establish a new nation, to create a government that would last, a government from which we still benefit today. So we start at the end of the French and Indian War, when the tensions between the colonists and the British Empire really began to rise. There was a fracturing of the relationship between colonists who viewed themselves as English subjects, who wanted to be English subjects, loyal to the king, loyal to their homeland, but found increasingly that they were not treated as equals or as human beings with rights, and they had to go through a decade of thinking and petitioning the crown and trying to resolve their issues before they reached a point where they thought they had to fight. So we tell stories of many individuals, some of whom will be familiar to the audience. Of course, we've got to do the greatest hits. So we're talking about Paul Revere. We're talking about Washington, Franklin. Mm-hmm. And then others who I think the audience will be surprised to learn about. There's plenty of heroes in our history, and we give voice to some of them in this documentary. And we also bring up some facts that some in the audience may know about familiar events like Paul Revere's ride, but might be surprising to many, including the fact that Revere was captured on his ride and escaped in a providential event. So that's featured in the film along with other similar anecdotes.
Yeah, so a lot of people are going to think perhaps they already know this story, and there's going to be other places trying to tell this story as we come up to America 250. So what are they going to learn here from Revolutionary America that might surprise them, and what is going to be unique about this offering?
Well, I'll start by saying a great story well told deserves to be experienced over and over again, and there's no better time than the 250th anniversary to experience the story again. But I think what we've been able to accomplish with the help of our scholars, and I do want to give special appreciation to Dr. Kevin Slack, who's one of our course advisors, is explain how this chain of events, which we are calling the Revolution, the end of the French and Indian War, through the ratification of the Constitution, these are often viewed as distinct events in history. And we put the connective tissue together to explain how colonists who had just won a war on behalf of the empire ended up creating a nation which endures to this day, and seeing how these things go together and form a continuity. The Revolution was more than just the fighting of the war. It was all the thinking and the working and the diplomacy and frankly, the living and dying before the war started and then after, making sure that the conditions for Americans were better after the Revolution than they were before.
appropriate for families, appropriate for kids? Will everyone get something out of Revolutionary America?
Yes, they will. I think in terms of holding the audience interest, we're probably looking at middle school kids and older, but there's nothing that would be inappropriate for children who are younger to see. And this is a timeless story, and it's our story. It's something we can be proud of as Americans. So it's perfect family viewing, and I would recommend that you bring your whole family.
Revolutionary America, Hillsdale College's theatrical debut. It's in theaters May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd, narrated by Tom Selleck, a guy you might know. Hillsdale.edu/film is where to find more. Hillsdale.edu/film. Jeremiah Regan is Executive Director of Online Learning here at Hillsdale College. Jeremiah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Up next, Anna Giratelli from the Washington Examiner tells us her true story in the new book, Under Assault. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has stood for more than just a store. It's all about neighbors helping neighbors, families growing together, and communities thriving. And now, that tradition is here in Reading. From feed and garden supplies to tools and pet essentials, Grange Co-op has what you need. With service you can trust. Visit us today at 55 Lake Boulevard. Grange Co-op, trusted by neighbors since 1934.
Look at your home from the street for a second. Now imagine it with rich, fresh color, clean trim, and a finish that looks great in the sunshine. Eagle Eye Painting can make that happen quickly and professionally. Our friendly crew focuses on the details through prep, careful edges, and a job site that's cleaned up when we're done. We're local, licensed, bonded, and insured, and we can walk you through the whole process in English or Spanish. Make this the season your home really stands out. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for your free exterior estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
Experience the Shasta Symphony Orchestra Spring Concert, Saturday, April 25th at 3 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. More information can be found at shastacollege.edu/events.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the show on X at Hillsdale Radio. You can also find more Hillsdale audio at podcast.hillsdale.edu. With me now is Anna Giratelli. She is currently Homeland Security Reporter for the Washington Examiner and also has a brand new book out. It's called Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
Scott, thank you for having me.
Very early in this book, you talk about why you stayed quiet for years, and you say women who name names face retaliation. Women who don't are ridiculed for being too scared or are accused of making up the story. Women who stay silent are mocked for not speaking up. Women cannot win. As we have our discussion today, it is just days after Eric Swalwell was driven from the California gubernatorial race due to allegations from women. Why is it so important that we have an environment that perhaps makes it easier for women to be honest and truthful about their experiences?
Yeah, because without that, women feel they cannot come forward. In my case, I was assaulted at 17, never said anything about it because I figured who'd care. And even while in Washington, D.C., as I get out in the book, I was propositioned by a superior to have sex as part of my job. And so I never came forward with either of those things. And it's because of those stereotypes and the pushback that you get. And for me, it was deciding that women needed to see an example of courage and hope to move forward from what they're going through, rather than just staying quiet and knowing that I made it through and not. But yeah, I think there's a very conflicting message right now between believe women when they come forward and make allegations, mm-hmm. even years later, and, you know, fairness and justice. And as a society, I think we have to figure out how do we deal with that? But the first step is women coming forward and actually understanding how great of a scope is sexual assault and sexual misconduct in our American society.
Anna, April 4th, 2020 is the day of the assault in Washington, D.C., and of course is the cornerstone of the story in the book Under Assault. So tell our listeners what happened that day, that April 4th of 2020.
I was living in Washington, D.C., just a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol, and we were in the middle of COVID. It was very early on in lockdowns, and I had gone out on a Saturday morning in a popular area to mail a package. And while I was walking to the post office, I was attacked randomly by a large man and fought for my life. I didn't know why I was being attacked. And during the assault, it also became a sexual assault. And I was fortunate to survive that day. And I was fortunate to have other people in the surrounding area witness what was going on, hear the screaming, and come over and save me. And that day was, changed the course of my life. The police quickly said, if he's prosecuted, if we find him, this is going to be a federal prosecution because we're in Washington, D.C., and the U.S. Attorney's Office handles those things.
Anna Giratelli is with us. Her book, Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. We'll get to some of the arrest, the prosecution in a bit, but the immediate aftermath is also covered in the book, Under Assault. And something that you are very explicit about is that friends and family can't just ask if a victim is okay. They need you and they need help, as you point out. What did you need from those people closest to you?
What I've learned after is that having people physically around you in the 2 weeks after a traumatic incident is the greatest indicator of how you are going to heal from that incident, overcome it mentally and emotionally. People need to see your action. Just do something. Send a meal. It's okay if they don't like it. Go over their house. Just check on them. Call them up. Send over a cleaning service or clean their house. Just those little things. Just sit with them. You don't have to talk. Those are the things that I needed and didn't get and made my recovery that much longer and more difficult.
Anna Giratelli is with us. Her book, Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. That day, and at least in the immediate
aftermath, Anna. How did the authorities, D.C. police, those investigating your case, what were your interactions like with them?
You know, they brought in SVU immediately when they heard it was a sex crime, when the 911 calls came in. They said they would take it, you know, seriously. He got away that day. Police said if we get DNA from your clothes and there's a match, he's already been arrested, you know, we'll be able to move forward if we can find him. And what I didn't know is that he had already also assaulted an off-duty female police officer in the same area. And so he was already wanted for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was let out or he got away again, but they said, we'll be in touch. And so several months later, they said there was a match in the system. He has a history. We're going to be looking for him and on the street. We believe he's homeless. He lives very close to your apartment on Capitol Hill. And they called me and said, we arrested him. The U.S. Attorney's Office said they arrested him yesterday, but the judge released him today. And so he was held overnight, but because of overcrowding at the D.C. jail, he was released. And I was out of D.C. at that point, staying with my parents out of state. But what we went on to see is that he would be arrested 5 more times for additional offenses and released all 5 times the following day before we got to actually the case moving forward. And that was a brutal, brutal blow.
Mm-hmm.
Just living in disbelief that the system would do more to protect people in jail than people on the street or people like myself.
Now, in the midst of all this, and as you mentioned, you moved out of D.C. You were in North Carolina at your parents' house. You're working on a crime story about crime in D.C., and you begin looking through some of the cases, some of the reports. There's a map that has all the incidents that have taken place in D.C., and you notice something, which is that your assault that you experienced is not on that map. It's not listed as an attack by D.C. police, and then you figure out that there are a whole mess of cases that are not listed. What were D.C. police overlooking and sort of pushing to the side as they were reporting crime stats in that area?
D.C. police continue to leave out countless numbers of felonies from the crime stats and purposely covering it up. And I was doing a story, like you said, a crime reporter who became a crime victim, doing a story on if crime in D.C. had gone up during COVID. And as I looked at the stats, I thought, I'm going to look for my stat. It was a sex abuse charge in the third degree. And at the time in 2020, there were pins on the map for D.C. So you could see exactly the part of the block where a crime occurred. And I didn't see mine. And so I reached out to D.C. police. And 2 weeks later, they wrote me back and said, your offense was not a first degree felony, so it is not in our crime stats. And I thought I was shocked. I didn't understand why would some offenses not be, you know, if this was serious enough for the U.S. Attorney's Office to prosecute, why wasn't it serious enough to be on the crime map? And I think, you know, we all know why they're covering up crime in that way.
Anna Giratelli is with us. Her book, Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. More next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Everybody calls and say Lions. Your Lions putting on the wrist. Cool blood hitting heat. That's the piss. No more fits. No more sweating buckets. No freezing bits. Oh, Lions putting on the wrist. Everybody.
Get our early bird AC tune-up special now. Call Alliance at 2212-642.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
This Mother's Day, don't just give mom a car. Give her a feast she'll never forget. Join us Sunday, May 10th in the Wind River Event Center for our lavish Mother's Day brunch. Chef-carved prime rib, fresh succulent crab, omelet and French toast station with an assortment of savory sides and desserts. Strictly for spoiling all the moms in our lives. With three separate seatings at 9 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 2 p.m. Tickets are just $60 plus fees. Visit windriver.com for more details. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For me, the best part of my day is when a commercial loan actually closes. The owner of the business, they finally have the cash to go do what they want to do to grow their business. They might have stressed about this, hoping it would all work, and when it all comes together as planned, it's a win-win for everyone. So I like that. I like it when people are happy, like, yes, I got my money, because it can be very stressful.
Plumas Bank. Experienced bankers. Real solutions. Visit PlumasBank.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
So what trends do you anticipate will shape the real estate market in 2026 based on what you've seen in late 2025? And how should buyers and sellers adjust their strategies accordingly?
Well, that's an excellent question, Sean. And I think what most experts are saying right now is that the first half of this year will probably be very similar to last year in terms of sales volume and performance. The difference and the separation might be in the second half of the year, where we might see sales volumes actually increasing over last year as lower interest rates and perhaps some momentum in the economy starts to kick in. And if you want to check the value of your home instantly, just go to readinghomes.com. It's right there on the front page for you.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to readinghomes.com. That's Reading, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're talking with Anna Giratelli. She's the Homeland Security Reporter for the Washington Examiner, also the author of the brand new book, Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. Anna, in the book you discuss, as you think back to the event and you think to advice that people have given you, like, okay, if you take these precautions, if you follow these rules, if you don't go out late at night, if you don't do this, is it more likely you won't be a victim of crime? But you asked this question because things have changed, particularly in the COVID era in 2020. How do we live when there are no rules for crime? What answer did you come up with?
Yeah, you know, the rules for crime are don't go out at night, late at night. Don't go out by yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't walk down certain streets. Don't walk down alleys. Who's walking down an alley? But, you know, those sensible things. Don't take a bus to an area that's not safe. Carry a weapon with you. In D.C., you know, a lot of people say, why didn't you pull out a gun? Couldn't have a gun.
Right.
The bigger story is the rules of crime. There was no way for me to protect myself. I did everything right. I was, you know, I didn't bother anybody. I was out during the day in a popular, safe area. And yet this happened to me. And so the bigger issue is sometimes it's easier for people, even women, to say, well, she must have done something wrong. She must have been dressed inappropriately. She must have asked for it. And none of that is true. And women, I think it's easier sometimes to point at a victim and say something they did was wrong than actually you can do everything right and still get attacked or still be a victim of some type of crime, still have something terrible happen to you, and it's not your fault. And isn't that the scarier of the two, knowing that you can do everything right, and there's no way to protect yourself.
Etta Giratelli is with us. Under Assault is her book. Etta, if there's a turning point in the story, I don't think it's necessarily the arrest, the prosecution of your attacker. It seems that the change happens when you change geographic locations one more time from Texas to Georgia, and it seems there is happiness that reenters your life. What changes with that move back to the East Coast in Georgia?
You know, he was sentenced in 2022, and he got about 2.5 years for all 7 arrests, which, and so after that, it was really an opportunity to take a deep breath and say, it's behind me now. And it took about another year of settling into it. I moved to Texas for 3 years and figuring out what, you know, I can't go back to D.C. What do I want the rest of, I don't know, my life will look like, but, the next year or so, what do I want that to look like? And I started to coming into a much healthier place mentally where I had dreams for myself, which I'd been in this survival mode for so many years after the attack. And I wanted to live somewhere, honestly, that felt like a Hallmark movie, that felt safe by the ocean, friendly place in the South, but not, you know, a little bit of seasons, all those things. And that was a really, really good sign that I was stepping outside my comfort zone, moving to a new place where I knew no one, wasn't scary because I had I'd already put a lot of scary stuff behind me, so I was confident in my ability to face that. And when I moved to Georgia in 2024, it really opened up. Yeah, I think going to a new place really helped with that, a new start. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful place to sort of be reborn, continue doing the job I was doing when I was attacked on the street in D.C. 6 years ago now. And it just looks very different, but there is a happier life now than I was living in 2020 before the assault.
And another key character in this story happens to be the President of the United States, President Trump. You see him giving a press conference, talking about crime in D.C., talking about the victims of crime in D.C., and for lack of a better phrase, you're encouraged by this, perhaps emboldened by this, to be more forthright about what happened to you. How did the president change the course of your story?
It did. It was last June when President Trump came out and wanted to address crime in D.C. And I watched his press conference and was moved to tears, fully crying, and seeing someone upset about crime in D.C. and having known some of those stories, he didn't know my story, but hearing what he had from White House staff and such, I felt like I was finally being seen for the first time. Like everything I'd gone through, someone was saying, we don't need to live like this. This isn't acceptable that people just get released on the streets, that people we know are violent offenders keep getting released and living on the streets where we're walking, and that people with legitimate mental health disorders who need help are not getting that help. And I saw the president move, and I felt it was the right time to share my story. I'd always been a little, I wanted to share what I'd been through, but I worried there wasn't anyone who would care and that it wasn't relevant at this point years later. But I was finally in a place where I wanted to share it and wanted to take a risk and see if it was relevant. So I'll get to your next, I'm sure. I wrote an op-ed for the Washington Examiner and came out and said, you know, crime is bad. I know I'm a victim. It changed my life, and D.C. police covered up my crime. A man went to prison for what he did to me, and there's no proof of it in the stats. And so it got to the larger issue that President Trump was trying to and still is trying to address.
The numbers are important. Certainly the reporting is important in terms of what's happening in D.C. and other places all across the country. But reading Under Assault, I wonder if the numbers really matter if we don't hear or see the personal side of these stories and see the face of the victim and hear how the attack, how that crime has affected them in their life.
You're so right. You know, 17 million women have been victims of rape or attempted rape since 1998, according to federal statistics. The book is a different number, but I'm sharing the accurate number now. And so I'm one. I guess I'm two, technically. But yeah, it changed the course of my life, and it's something so personal. It's not just a crime. It changes you. It changes you, and frankly, it ruins your life if you let it. And to know that so many women in this country, where women and men are equal in the law, have gone through this. And I think it also speaks to how many offenders are out there. How many people, how many men, because most offenders are men, mm-hmm. have done this to women repeatedly. And I think, you know, during the Me Too era, women were outspoken in calling for men to step up and protect women and for men to stop doing this to women. And I would argue I think we're in a different era now. And it's time for women to do a lot better at protecting ourselves, not with self-defense, but with understanding. And that's really why I wanted to put my full story out there, because if you don't know what you're going to face in the workplace, if you don't know what you're going to face as a naive 17-year-old going to a party with adults, if you don't know what you're going to face being attacked on the street and in a as a plaintiff in a court case, you don't know how to take care of yourself. And mm-hmm. what I've heard in the couple weeks the book has been out is women from D.C., from all across the country, DMing me and saying, I was a victim in this way. I didn't know, you know, how to protect myself. I didn't know how to recover. I'm still, you know, years later trying to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, part of the reason I wanted to put this out there and say all of it, because how do we move forward? Why are we still accepting that sexual assault is just another crime? And it's terrible, but, you know, it's a crime. It happens.
Anna Giratelli, she writes for the Washington Examiner, Homeland Security reporter there. You can find her on X as well. And the new book is Under Assault, A Crime Reporter's True Story of Overcoming Sexual Trauma and Exposing Injustice. Anna, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Up next, we hear excerpts from a recent speech by Scott Jennings at a Hillsdale National Leadership Seminar. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Kick off your week with straight up facts. Tune in to KCNR every Monday at 6:35 a.m. for the Town Hall Brief during the Sue McClain News Hour. Known for unbiased reporting, we deliver the real deal on what's happening in our county. Crisp updates and honest discussions that matter. Got a tip? Email townhallbriefs@gmail.com or DM them at townhallbrief on linktree.com. The Town Hall Brief, your trusted source for local news, Monday mornings at 6:35 on KCNR.
Join us for the Chips and Chaps fundraiser luncheon Saturday, May 2nd at the Reading Senior Center from 10:30 to 2:30 with special guest speakers Dr. Allen and Dr. Sackfield. Don't miss your chance for an exhilarating ride on Wreck-It Ralph and a chance to bid on a one-of-a-kind Chips and Chaps belt buckle. Get your tickets today at ReadingRodeo.com. Just click on the Chips and Chaps tab. Thank you to our sponsors Reading Rancheria, Valor Oncology, Gold Mart Jewelers, Dignity Health, Sierra Pacific Regional Cancer Center, Four Winds Jewelry, and this radio station.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, everybody. McGraw Milhaven here, host of America at Night. Tune in each and every weeknight for late night conversation. We'll have interesting guests, informative conversations from people who have been there and have done that. Plus, we always have time for you, the listener, because we love late night conversations. Be sure to tune in every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the next America at Night with me, McGraw Milhaven, right here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio station.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or Spotify to catch every episode of this program. Plus, you can find other Hillsdale College audio there as well. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Now we hear excerpts from a recent speech by CNN political contributor Scott Jennings. He was speaking at a Hillsdale National Leadership Seminar on working for CNN, but also discussed his recent book, A Revolution of Common Sense, and the conflict between Western civilization and the radical left. Here's Scott Jennings.
I do want to speak to you all this evening about what I believe our mutual calling to be. It is my sincerest belief that everyone in this room is fighting for the future of Western civilization. I've been involved in politics now for a long time, 26 years. Over half my life spent in service to the conservative cause. Candidates have come and gone. The issues of the day have evolved over the years. Goodness knows our opponents have changed. We now face the most radical, anti-American political opposition that any of us could imagine. It's scary, really, how much the liberal movement has been hijacked by the enemies of the West, by those who believe the American founding to be rotten at its core, and that it should be ripped out root and branch. And because of that, our politics now more than ever is a fight for the future of the West. And there's one thing that I know. In this fight, we can cede no ground. Not in politics, not in business, not in education, not in culture, and certainly not in my arena, which is the media. We are all on the front lines of a fight that will determine whether our children and grandchildren grow up in a world where the values of the West persevere, or whether they will grow up in a world shrouded in darkness under ideologies and belief systems that are the very enemies of human liberty.
More here from Scott Jennings speaking earlier this year at a Hillsdale event.
To defend the West, as we all do, is to defend the right to speak freely, to worship freely, to raise our families in peace, and to live by moral conviction rather than mob coercion. Our movement, our voices, all of you in this room, we make up a community, one of the last remaining in America, that is still unapologetically dedicated to preserving and passing down the moral and spiritual inheritance of the West. It is my view that we are simply no longer just arguing about the politics of the day, the politics as usual. We're not just disagreeing about tax rates and health care plans anymore. We are doing nothing less than fighting for the soul of this nation, the survival of this nation and of the civilization that produced it. This is what keeps me up at night, that we are watching the basics of our society come under constant attack. The radical left, the enemies of the West, are going after anyone who builds anything, who believes anything, or who stands for anything.
The title of the speech was Working for CNN, and CNN political contributor Scott Jennings did address that as well.
I also get asked from time to time whether or not I get along with my co-workers at CNN. I'll tell you the truth. The answer is, a few of us, yes, we do get along. For a few of us, we open our hearts and our ears to each other before we open our mouths, which is a good rule for punditry, but it's also a good rule for life, I think. I tend to gravitate to the people who argue in good faith and with good humor. They do exist, but increasingly, I am encountering people who are extremely angry, rageful. They use the language of hate. You heard it. They call you racist, fascists, Nazis. You hear this on a daily basis. As we build the coalition of common sense, I sometimes think about what is happening to the other side. Why are they so angry? Why are they headed in the exact opposite direction? Why, if we are building the coalition of common sense, have they decided to embrace becoming the party of uncommon nonsense? So I'll just say out loud what I think most everyone in this room knows to be true. These people have completely lost their minds. And I will sum it up for you. They care more about pronouns than paychecks. They still are trying to put boys in girls' locker rooms. They are working harder for criminals than they have ever worked for victims. Their number one constituency today, illegal aliens and not American citizens. And they are hostile to those of us who believe in the Judeo-Christian underpinnings that anchor our laws and our culture. They have become the party of weirdos and scolds, of people who think your five-year-old needs to know more about gender fluidity than phonics. They want to control everything. They want government making decisions that you should be making for yourself.
We're listening to excerpts from a speech from CNN's Scott Jennings at a recent Hillsdale National Leadership Seminar. More here from Jennings.
The left wants you to believe that your rights are whatever they decide to give you. That's so they can take them away so easily. If government gives you the right to do something, well, government can change its mind next week. But if your rights come from God, that is something different altogether. No politician can vote them away. No judge can rule them out of order. And no angry mob can shout them down. We answer to a higher power when it comes to our rights as human beings, as God's children. This is why the left is so hostile to faith. It's not really about church service or prayer in school. It is about power. They need you to believe that they are the highest authority in your life. But people of faith know better. We know there is something above the state, something more important than politics, something that judges the judges. When you understand that your rights are God-given, you cannot be intimidated. When you know that you'll answer to a higher authority than some government bureaucrat, you cannot be bullied into silence. When you realize that truth isn't determined by polling or politics, but rather by something eternal, you can stand firm even when it seems like the rest of the world is going insane or that everyone else in the TV studio has lost their mind. This is the foundation of American freedom. That's what makes our nation different, and that is what they are trying to destroy.
CNN's Scott Jennings at a Hillsdale event concludes this way.
But I think Americans are hungry for the truth, and I think when you give them a choice between being victims or being victors, they will choose victory. When you give them a choice between dependence and dignity, they will choose dignity. And when you give them a choice between loving America or hating it, they will choose love. Because we are a nation of patriots. And all we need are people like you, the people in this room, strong enough, committed enough to reclaim and proclaim the freedom on which this country was founded. So as I close this evening, I'd like us all to remember that defending Western civilization is not an act of nostalgia. It is an act of stewardship. We are heirs to a legacy purchased by the courage of those who came before us, men and women who believed that truth was worth dying for and that freedom was worth defending. To paraphrase the Lion of the West, Winston Churchill, the flame of Christian civilization cannot be extinguished. It may flicker, but it will never go out. Our mission, your mission, is to spread light and truth in a confused world that desperately needs clarity, into a divided culture that needs your courage, and into a dark age that very much longs for the light. I firmly believe that if we remain faithful to God and to the truths that built this great civilization, then our best days and the world's are still ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to defending the West, failure is not an option. Thank you. God bless Hillsdale. God bless the United States of America. Thank you all.
That's CNN political analyst Scott Jennings speaking recently at a Hillsdale National Leadership Seminar. You can find that full speech at Hillsdale's Freedom Library at freedomlibrary.hillsdale.edu. That's freedomlibrary.hillsdale.edu. That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Jeremiah Regan. The new film, Revolutionary America, coming May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. Also, Anna Giratelli, her book, Under Assault. And we heard excerpts from Scott Jennings. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.